Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
God has at times, He has just bestowed upon His people blessings and just wow. I mean, there are times in our life, and we've probably, if you've served God any length of time at all, you've had that happen. A miraculous outpouring of God. I mean, just, you can't explain it. You didn't do anything for it. Just wham, it just came, and you're, wow, it was a miracle, and you can't call it anything other than that. Just a miracle. And the reason why miracles are called miracles is because they don't happen too often. They're far and few between, and just, wow. I mean, it's everybody's been there where you've had one of those. But most of the time, He uses the normal occurrences of everyday life through His people to bless people and us. The normal routines of everyday life. Now, I'm all about the miracle. I'm all about it, and I believe in God for things and believe in God for things. And then sometimes I'm not even believing for anything, and then just boom. I mean, so that happens, but they're far and few between. That's why they're called miracles. And so what I want to do is I want to make sure that as I pastor this church and we teach God's people and disciple them, that we're not just looking for the miracle every day. We're looking for the blessings of God because of the natural, normal, everyday routines of life that we have set ourselves in line with His will. And then the idea of just the Bible and living it, we walk in the blessing. We walk in the blessing, which in and of itself is could be considered a miracle, but we don't call it a miracle because it's not one of those, wow. I mean, it happens because that's just the way it is. I know that I planted corn and I got corn. And I'm not, wow, can you believe this corn? Yeah, I planted it. I tended it. I watched it. And so is it a miracle? Well, sure, it's a miracle, but you got to understand that the way we see miracles is far and few between. See, when you look at the everyday normal occurrences of life, you learn that you do your part and God does His, and always know that it's God who is responsible for the increase. If you're here any length of time, you've got to know that. So our object this Thanksgiving, the object of our Thanksgiving has to be God. That's the sermon title tonight, the object of our Thanksgiving. And I wanted to talk about that tonight because tomorrow we can get caught up on the stuffing, which is one of my favorite parts, all of Thanksgiving. And we get caught up on, oh, I'm so thankful for this stuffing. I'm so thankful for this pie. There's three of them sitting on the counter at the house right now. That she hasn't put the sign on there, I think she's got me trained. That means do not touch. It just, you know, I see them sitting there. When there's three of them, I don't think that they are mine. So I got to leave them alone. You know, we can plant the crop, we can tend the crop, and we can consume the crop. We can do all those things, but you know what we can't do? We can't grow it. We can't grow the crop. We can't give the increase. Only God can. Growth and increase are always God's responsibility. Now, understanding that God gave us everything to allow us to tend, I understand all of it comes from God. But what He gives to you, you do the right thing with, you still aren't responsible for the growth. God's always responsible for the growth, for the increase. You take something and you want to make it into something, but you can't make it into something that's going to grow in and of itself without God. God's the one who does that. See, you can't do anything for increase other than watch it. You plant something and you can tend it, you can watch it, but you're not going to make that first stalk come out of the ground. God does that. God does that. He set that in motion. See, church, just always know that God brings the increase. God brings the growth to animals, to plants, to whatever. If you're a farmer, you get this and you understand. You can put a herd of cows in a field, and when you've got the right male-female combination, you can have some growth. But know this, you didn't do anything except put them in the field. See, God's the one responsible for the growth. And I always think about this because I think it's real important. Our responsibility as Christian people to get a hold of a mandate in Scripture, and I know we talk about it all the time, but it's really the basis for tomorrow. Luke 6:38, in giving you receive. In giving you receive. God's responsible. When you receive, you have reason to be thankful. He uses his people, he uses us to plant, he uses us to watch and tend and to reap, but he doesn't use us to grow, he grows. Everybody gets that, because I can spend another 10 minutes on it. The growing is the gift. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. We can truly have Thanksgiving. I want to relate this to deer hunting. Are you surprised? So I have, when I first moved here, there wasn't a lot of deer in our property. And so I started doing everything I could. I tried to start feeding them. I started trying to get the habitat. I tried to keep certain areas clear where they would have a resting place. They would have a place where we didn't run them out. And I've done a really good job of all that. But you know what? There was nothing I could do in and of myself to grow the herd. God had to do that. So I just set up the condition for that to happen. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57, be thankful to God, but thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks to God. See, our thanks has got to be on the right object. It can't be on the food tomorrow, on the family. It's got to be on God. And then all of those things that have increased in your life, you can say, wow, God, thank you for that. Thank you for that. 2 Corinthians, turn here, this is my main passage tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, how much to plant. You've got to decide in your heart how much. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide the increase and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. I love what the youth group's doing. When we take the gifts, to those who need them, they'll be thankful. They'll be thankful for the gifts. They'll be thankful and they'll thank God. I just think that's real important that we get a hold of. Verse 12 is what I want to point out. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Two things result from the ministry of giving. And as we are celebrating Thanksgiving tomorrow, the reason why we have anything is because it's been given. So we're thankful for what's been given. And the ministry of Thanksgiving means that we go out and do the same. So Thanksgiving has two components that I want to talk about. The first one is the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. The Greek word here means God's holy people, where it says the believers in Jerusalem, God's holy people. So God's holy people, understanding that you being lined up with God and the Word, doing the right thing day in and day out, your needs are met. How many can say my needs are met? My needs are met. God's people's needs are met. Praise God. The second thing that it says, very important that we get, is then they will joyfully express their thanks to God. They will joyfully express their thanks to God. That is what I wanted to just briefly talk about tonight, is we have to understand that there is rejoicing that needs to take place because our needs are met. But we're in such a society that we don't rejoice until we get something we want. It's not about a need, it's about a want in today's world. If I get what I want, you know, and our wants change the older we get. I mean, I just want my family together the older I get. I mean, I'm just real thrilled about that. It's not about the gifts under the tree. It's about who's around it. You know, I want, but it's still a want. So I want you to understand that your wants can change the older you get. So parents, don't get on your kids about because they want this new electronic or want this new game or want this new. We have the same thing. It's just maybe different. What I want you to get caught up on is as God's people, our needs are met, therefore we thank God. That's just a really good point that I want to make sure we get a hold of today. My brother here a couple years ago had the privilege of traveling on a mission trip to Ecuador, and he told me a story, and I've just never forgot this. I think it's real important to illustrate what we're talking about tonight. Casey had went down to Ecuador, my youngest brother. He met a family in what we would consider a terrible home environment. I mean, just the environment that they were living in. Mud smeared against trees that were all made up into this hut and this ceiling. And this old rugged wire came across the top of this hut, and it came into one light. The light itself was caked in soot from the fire that was in the ground in the middle of the cave. I mean, the cave, the hut. And in a cage just outside of their little hut was chickens and roosters, but the rooster was running around inside of their house, he said. And he was just telling his story, and he said they had guinea pigs, and the guinea pigs weren't to play with, they were to eat. He's in Ecuador, and obviously a third world country in an area that was really tough. They had a couple of rabbits, and they weren't, once again, pets, they were to eat. This hut was approximately 10 by 15 foot wide, and the length and width of it. Had one mattress, black plastic bags separated the area where they lived and where the animals were. Now just imagine this, tree limbs across the ceiling and this dirty smell was in there. He said it was horrible. He said that they looked, the family looked as if they hadn't had a bath in a month. They had a $40 a month income, and they paid $6 a month just to keep that one light on that was covered in black soot. Walls made of dirt, caked and dried out, and grass, and they would have to continually put that back on it just to keep their walls a wall. In this little 10 by 15 hut was a husband and a wife and five kids. They did have a big pig outside that they were keeping to sell or to kill and eat. Well, when they were there, they had visited for a little while, and before they were leaving, the interpreter they had there said to the family, he said, guys, we want to pray for you before we leave, and so we want to ask if you have a prayer request. And when he said, you have a prayer request, the guy's eyes lit up, and he smiled real big, and he said, yes, I do. Now, in your mind, are you forming what kind of a prayer request you would have? Here was his prayer request, that God would continue to meet our needs. That God would just continue to meet our needs. And I thought, wow, that's where we are. That's where we are in America. We're not ever praying, God, continue to meet our needs. We're praying, God, bring me this next game. God, bring me these people. God, bring this. God, I'm believing you for great big things. And I'm all about believing God. But when's the last time you just thanked him for meeting your needs? God, thank you for meeting my needs.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net. And click on the podcast link.